Winston Churchill, John F. Kennedy, and their families have long been the subjects of endless fascination and intrigue, but never before has there been a study of the long and emotionally complex relationship that existed between these two families and its effect on history. Now drawing upon newly discovered documents, biographer Thomas Mayer has written When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. It provides a fresh perspective on the many previously unknown dealings between the two families. Again, the title of the book is When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Thomas Mayer to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you letting me talk to your audience. I appreciate it.
Very nice to have you here. What brought you to this subject of looking at these two incredible families?
Well, I realized that there had never been a book written about the Churchills and the Kennedys before. And as I did my research, part of the reason why I realized is that most of the histories about these two families were written after World War II, in which the Churchills and the Kennedys differed on World War II. Obviously, Joe Kennedy was the ambassador in London, and he was trying to urge President Roosevelt not to get involved into World War II, whereas, of course, Winston Churchill, as the leader of Great Britain, was hoping to get the United States involved and to try to stop the menace of Hitler and the Nazis, and essentially trying to not only defend England and the British Empire, but Western civilization as we know it. So they were at loggerheads, but prior to World War II, the two families actually were friendly. And part of my research, I found out that they were friendly to the extent in the early 1930s. Joe Kennedy wound up getting the British liquor deal at the end of Prohibition. And it was with the help of not only Winston Churchill, but with the president's oldest son, Jimmy Roosevelt.
So take us to that meeting in 1933 between Churchill and Joseph Kennedy's entourage, which, as you say, included the oldest son of President Roosevelt.
Well, you know, particularly if people watch the TV show Boardwalk Empire, they actually had a fictionalized Joe Kennedy in its last episode, this last season, this past year, and they talk about this British liquor deal. Actually, my book has got the real story. What happened is that Joe Kennedy was the major fundraiser for FDR in the 1932 presidential race, and a number of people who were business associates of Joe Kennedy's were also major contributors to Roosevelt, because what they realized, particularly Joe realized, is that the election of Roosevelt would mean the end of Prohibition, which had been in place for more than a decade and prohibited any type of use of alcohol. Joe wanted to be the first major alcohol salesman in America at the end of Prohibition. So what he did was he went over on a ship with the president's son this would be October of 1933, about a month or two before the end of Prohibition, and he lines up the British liquor deal. As part of that trip, they visit Chartwell, which is the home of Winston Churchill. And Churchill actually always thought that Prohibition in America was a folly, that it was silly and that it would never work. So Winston was already inclined to be friendly to this. Also, the Churchills and the Kennedys did share two particular friends at that time. So Joe Kennedy goes to London and he meets with Churchill, and he comes back with the British liquor deal that earns him millions of dollars. Jimmy Roosevelt, the president's son, secretively gets the insurance contract on the liquor shipments back and forth between the two families. And the big surprise in my book, which I was quite surprised to find, is that Winston Churchill around this time wound up with a lucrative amount of stock in two American companies controlled by Joe Kennedy. This was at a time in which Winston was kind of at the low point in his political career, a time in which he called the wilderness era of his career. He had been kind of broke because he lost a lot of money in the collapse of Wall Street in 1929. But lo and behold, he winds up with a sizable amount of stock in these two companies that are controlled by Joe Kennedy, one of which is National Distillers, for which Joe Kennedy is the franchise, the New England franchise representative, and the other is a company called Brooklyn Manhattan Transit, which is then the privately owned subway line in New York City that Joe Kennedy and another mutual friend, arguably Winston's best friend in America, a guy named Bernard Baruch, he's business partners with Joe in the subway line, and what they're helping to do is sell it to the municipalities. And much to my surprise, right around this trip for the liquor deal, Winston Churchill gets stock in Brooklyn Manhattan Transit. He becomes an owner of a New York City subway line, at least for a time period. So that was quite surprising to me.
Meanwhile, back at the White House, President Roosevelt is quite alarmed by all of this and learning that his son was involved in the deal.
Exactly. You know, Joe Kennedy was quite a scalawag in his way. He was a brilliant businessman and really the ultimate capitalist. Obviously, he had dreams of his own for the White House, either for himself or for his sons, and obviously JFK made good on all those dreams. But Franklin Roosevelt and his son, James, it was a more contentious relationship. And Jimmy Roosevelt wanted something for himself. And so when Franklin Roosevelt and the White House finds out about this liquor deal about 6 or 9 months after it happens, they're quite alarmed. And they asked Jimmy about it. And in my research, I found a letter from Jimmy Roosevelt to his father, the president. It was sent to their home up in Hyde Park rather than to the White House. And he says, "Yes, Dad, it's true. I do have this deal for the liquor contract, and I wanted something for myself. These people, Joe Kennedy and more specifically a fellow named Seton Porter, who ran National Distillers, these fellows are friends of mine, Dad. It has nothing to do with you being the President of the United States." As you step back and you look at this this deal, what's really interesting to me is the relationship between great men and their sons, the relationship, obviously, of Roosevelt with his son, the relationship of Joe Kennedy with his sons, and also Winston Churchill. Part of the mutual friends that are involved in this deal is a woman named Kay Halley, who has never really been written about before, but she would have been the fiancée of Winston Churchill's son, Randolph. Mm. And she's part of this trip that Joe Kennedy takes from the United States over to London. So there's all these unknown, previously unknown figures that emerge from the research here. And it's part of the friendly acquaintance between these two families, the Churchills and the Kennedys, that I would submit rewrites history. It rewrites our understanding of the history between these two dynamic families. And so the arc, the overall telling of my book here, is that the Churchills and the Kennedys were actually friendly prior to World War II, and I document all the various ways that that was true. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's this tragic parting of the ways over World War II. And then at the end of my book, the two families become friends again. The second generation of the Churchills and the Kennedys, Randolph Churchill, but Jack Kennedy, you know, JFK, Jackie Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, they actually become very friendly in the 60s. And so that's kind of the ending of my book. And I think this would be a big surprise to anybody who's ever read a book about either family, the fact that there was so much of a connection between the two.
I do want to talk about Kay Halley, but before I do, let me go back to the statement you just made regarding the friction that developed over World War II. What was at the center of that and the real bone of contention between the two families that would cause such a divide?
Well, it's boiled down in a nutshell, Joe Kennedy was sent over by President Roosevelt as the U.S. ambassador right before World War II. And Joe Kennedy essentially was an isolationist, like probably about 70% of Americans at that time. And a lot of people just did not want to get into another world war. The World War I experience was still fresh in a lot of people's minds 20 years later, and they didn't want to get involved in another European war. So that's where Joe Kennedy was coming from. And, of course, he had three sons who were of that time period, and he felt that they would get killed in a war. So not only did he not want to see America get involved in a war, but he didn't want to see his sons get killed. And, of course, Joe Jr. did indeed get killed in World War II. On the other hand, Winston Churchill, he wanted to save the British Empire. As the prime minister, he saw the great threat that Adolf Hitler and Nazism and Germany posed to not only his country, but to our ideas of human freedom, of tyranny, and of all the ideals of Western civilization. So England was at war for about 2 years, from 1939 until 1941, when the U.S., after Pearl Harbor, finally joined the effort. But for 2 years, bear in mind, England was at war by itself, without the United States. And so that was really the big divide between the Churchills and the Kennedys.
So let us go back to Kay Halley. She is a major character in this book, a daughter of a Cleveland millionaire. She had affairs with both Churchill and Kennedy family members, and, as you point out, behind the scenes played a very important role in really, as you're talking about the end of the book, of bringing these two families together in some way.
Yeah, Kay Halley was one of several people, mutual friends in my book, who played this interconnecting role between these two families. You know, most of the books about the Churchills and Kennedys have said that, you know, they had parallel lives, but really not a lot of interconnections, frankly, because a lot of historians were unaware of figures like Kay Halley. Kay Halley was she was the daughter of a multimillionaire who owned a big department store in Cleveland. She was a very independent-minded woman. It's her obituary in the New York Times that actually mentions that she had an affair with Joe Kennedy. And prior to that, she would have been the would-be fiancé of Randolph Churchill, Winston's only son. And that didn't work out, mainly because she was a little bit leery about Randolph and kind of his wildness and such. So that never happened. But Randolph very much wanted to get married to Kay Halley. And she had this fascinating life, this interconnection between the two families. And as you mentioned later on in the book, in the early 60s, there's this wonderful scene in which Kay Halley has convinced President Kennedy to have a Rose Garden ceremony granting U.S. honorary citizenship to Winston Churchill for all of his greatness and all of that he did towards saving the world through World War II. And so there they are in 1963. It's April of 63. President Kennedy, the son of Joe Kennedy, the great critic of Winston Churchill, here he is handing out an award to Winston Churchill. Winston is so old that he's unable to attend. So it's Randolph Churchill who actually is standing there next to President Kennedy and Jacqueline Kennedy, receiving this honorary citizenship award. And one of the things I found in my research is on the second floor of the White House, watching through a window, is Joe Kennedy. By that point, he has had a stroke. He's sitting there next to his granddaughter, Caroline Kennedy, but he's watching through this window, unable to speak, watching his son granting this tremendous honor to Winston Churchill, the man who arguably destroyed Joe Kennedy's career. And you just have to wonder what was going through Joe Kennedy's mind. And all of this was orchestrated by this person, Kay Halley, who was giving social advice to Jackie Kennedy in the White House and was friendly with the Kennedy family. And she's one of the characters who stretches from 1930 through the 1960s, who are major characters in my book.
You do write about this crucial meeting that took place in 1958 between Winston Churchill and John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
What happened at that meeting and what facilitated it?
Well, Aristotle Onassis was the very wealthy Greek shipping magnate who had become by that point friendly with both Randolph Churchill and ultimately with Winston Churchill. This is after Winston had now been twice the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and he would go on this massive yacht that Onassis had on essentially on cruises, luxury cruises across the Mediterranean. Onassis was a big fan of Winston Churchill. He idolized Churchill for what he had done in World War II. And in 1958, Joe Kennedy and his wife, Rose Kennedy, they were vacationing in the Mediterranean. And Senator Jack Kennedy and his wife, Jacqueline, decided to visit his father in the Mediterranean. And it was arranged that Winston Churchill, who was curious about Jack Kennedy, and he heard that Jack Kennedy was presidential timber, and Winston said, I'd like to see this presidential timber for myself. So it was arranged that Jack and Jackie Kennedy would come on board the Onassis yacht in 1958 to meet Winston Churchill. And indeed, Jack Kennedy had a conversation with Winston Churchill. He was fairly old by that point, so it wasn't a particularly substantive conversation. But ironically, in one of those remarkable twists of history, Aristotle Onassis meets Jackie Kennedy, his future wife, for the first time in that encounter in 1958. He shows Jackie Kennedy all around the yacht while Jack Kennedy, the future president, is having a conversation privately with Winston Churchill. And it was the beginning of a remarkable connection between Aristotle Onassis and Jackie Kennedy that ultimately winds up in them getting married in 1968, 5 years after the death of President Kennedy.
You have written about the Kennedys before, including your book, The Kennedys, America's Emerald Kings, but probably best known recently for Masters of Sex, which is a very popular series on Showtime. So what has that experience been like? Because I assume while that was all burgeoning, you were writing this book.
It was. It was. It probably kept me out of the hair of some of the writers that I wasn't constantly bombarding them with ideas for the TV show. Basically, my whole career as a writer has been about America in our times. So it was in the same way that I wrote about Masters and Johnson, I've been intrigued with the Kennedy family, particularly. I've written written books about Dr. Spock and Cy Newhouse, the media tycoon. And so the theme generally has been about America in our times. And so I'd love to see When Lions Roar, my new book, become a TV series just like Masters of Sex. I think it's kind of like a real-life Game of Thrones in a way. You know, it has so many things in this book. It's got wars, it's got romance, it's got a lot of spying, both in London during World War II, but also at the Vatican, which was something that was a big surprise to me, the way in which the Kennedys were involved with spying at the Vatican and such, and also romance. You know, it's funny. I partly did this book about the Churchills and the Kennedys to kind of get away from the subject of sex, and much to my surprise, that the story of the Churchills and the Kennedys had a fair amount of romances and adulteries and infidelities and such. And I have a number of women who were smart, independent-minded women who were part of the lives of both families, who I think are throughout this book, not only Kay Halley, but for instance, a woman named Margaret Coit. She won a Pulitzer Prize for biography, but she dated JFK before he met Jackie Kennedy, and she has this wonderful oral history that she gave to the JFK Library that's really never been reported before in histories. So what is it like to go out on a date with JFK? It's part of the book here as well. Claire Booth Luce, whose husband ran the Time Life media empire, and she was a famous playwright. And so a lot of these characters come in and out of the Kennedys' lives, and I guess one of the most remarkable things to me is that Pamela Churchill, who was Winston's daughter-in-law, was very good friends with JFK's sister, Kathleen Kick Kennedy. And it's the relationship of Pamela Churchill and Kick Kennedy that I use to tell part of the story of the war in World War II and their experiences during the war and in the few years after the war, and until Kick Kennedy is killed in a plane crash in 1948.
Well, the name of this book is When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. Thomas Mayer is the author of several books, including The Kennedys, America's Emerald Kings, and Masters of Sex, the basis for the Showtime series. Again, the new book is When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. It is published by Crown. Thomas Mayer, thank you very much for spending time with us. A great pleasure to have you back on the program.
Joe, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. The book is published by Crown. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.